Usually, when someone strides into a parliament building surrounded by armed goons and declares themselves in charge, it is part of an endeavor to overthrow the incumbent government. This past weekend's in El Salvador are evocative of such rituals in certain key respects. Someone did stride into parliament surrounded by armed goons and declared themselves in charge. This occurrence does not, however, quite meet the qualifications for classification as a coup d'etat. For the seething renegade who led this storming of El Salvador's Legislative Assembly, Nayib Bukele, is already president of El Salvador. On the face of it, President Bukele may appear to have done the equivalent of hijacking an aeroplane to where it was already going. However, while President Bukele is no stranger to the dramatic exclamation, there is usually a purpose to them, and this one is no different. Nayib Bukele's election to El Salvador's presidency around this time last year was startling for a variety of reasons. He was young, just 37, of mixed Salvadorian-Palestinian descent, and a member of neither of the two parties which have dominated Salvadorian politics since the late 1980s. Bukele used to be a member of one of them, the left-wing Farabundo Martí Nacional Liberation Front, back when he was mayor of El Salvador's capital, San Salvador. But the FMLN expelled Bukele following an incident, perhaps somewhat indicative of his general temperament, in which he threw an apple at a colleague and called her a witch. Despite, or perhaps, and you can never entirely rule this out, because of such indecorum, voters were not put off Bukele. Leading the centre-right Grand Alliance for National Unity, Bukele won a first-round victory in last February's presidential election. He possibly benefited from an abject turnout of not quite 52%, but a win is a win. Bukele's big promise was the big promise that self-styled outsider candidates always run on. End corruption, stand up to vested interests, speak up for the common schlub, drain the swamp, etc. Listeners in several jurisdictions will be familiar with the refrain by now. But Bukele also had a specifically local cause, El Salvador's chronic violence, much of it associated with the gang warfare which plagues the country. And this is how President Bukele came to end up leading a storming of his own parliament. He wants lawmakers to approve a loan worth some $109 million from the Central American Bank for Economic Integration to buy stuff for El Salvador's police and army: vehicles, helicopters, drones, body armor, and other means of confronting paramilitary gangsters.
First, we send the army to the streets. That's probably not very popular. We have a police force that's not enough to cover the whole country. So we concentrated the police force and the armed forces in those areas where you have the most crimes. We're looking at the structures, who's operating, who's commanding the structures. We make a map. We take out the main pieces of the puzzle, and then the organization stops working. They don't know how to manage, how to control. And we're fighting crime better than before.
El Salvador's parliamentarians were seeking further detail, and President Bukele does not appear to be the detail-oriented type. So it was that he barged into parliament at the head of a phalanx of khaki-clad troops, who, at the risk of undermining the president's argument, appeared pretty formidably tooled up. Back outside his point made, Bukele spoke to his supporters. He described the members of parliament as scoundrels and said that he'd give them a week to pass the loan, else he and his heavily armed entourage would be back. El Salvador's parliamentarians, once they'd shaken off their shell shock, described President Bukele's stunt as an attempted coup.
Y tomar acciones en relación a ese intento de...
We are taking action in relation to that attempted coup to the legislative body. As president of the parliament and on behalf of the 84 parliamentarians, we are vigorously protesting that attitude by which this legislative venue was entered.
Enérgicamente por esa actitud por la cual se ingresó a este recinto legislativo.
For reasons outlined at the beginning of this item, it was not that, on the grounds that President Bukele has no need to stage such an intervention. Under El Salvador's constitution, he is already El Salvador's head of state, head of government, and commander-in-chief of the armed forces. So if this isn't a coup, what is it? What it is a good old-fashioned executive versus legislature standoff. While President Bukele has a great deal of power, what he does not have is a parliamentary majority. His GANA party holds just 10 of the 84 seats, and the next election isn't until next year. This is kind of as it should be. Most democratic constitutions are designed to stop any one branch of government getting entirely its own way. As more than one democratic polity has discovered recently, however, this convention only works when everyone respects it. Devil-may-care disruptors are tough to guard against, especially when they're president. President Bukele has dismissed accusations that he has designs on still greater power. If I was a dictator, he harumphed, I would have taken control of everything. This is less reassuring than he might have hoped. Once you find yourself denying that you're a dictator, you're usually, at the very least, on the way to becoming one. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.